a continuation of last Sunday evening's lesson concerning the Bible temples, the temples that are found in the Bible. We started out by looking at the description of a tabernacle, a movable tent. Then we summarized for you Solomon's temple, which was a permanent structure in Jerusalem. And then after Solomon's temple was Zerubbabel's temple in the return from the captivity to Jerusalem, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians having destroyed Solomon's temple. After Zerubbabel's temple, there's Herod's temple. And he was the Roman leader that came in and decided to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem after Antiochus, the Greek leader, came in and desecrated that temple. So in order wanting to find favor with the Jews, after Antiochus desecrated it, he enlisted their aid to rebuild it, and it was Herod's temple that Jesus was looking at and the disciples when he said, foretold its destruction, not one stone would be left upon another. And then that's the last of the Bible temples. Except for this last one, spiritual temple, you and me. You can see this in the verses that I have listed for you. Let's read them together first. And there, I just took the phrases, five phrases from this biblical text to give us the notes. And so I thought, even though you have these notes in the outline that was handed out last week, I just wanted to give you a separate outline just on tonight's lesson. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? The Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. The temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning of verse 19, Paul says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own. Did you know that? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. All right, so those are the verses. So in last week's lesson, I added some notes. They're not in tonight's notes, but a couple verses that mentions that there are no more stone buildings for God's dwelling. And here's the verses if you want to write them in tonight's notes. But these are, like I said, these were in last Sunday night's notes. But in Acts 7, verse 48, howbeit the Most High dwells not in temples made with hands. So no more stone buildings. Acts 17, verse 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands. So now we, being the temple of God, we are living stones, and Peter uses that phrase in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Peter says, ye also, as lively stones or living stones. So God doesn't dwell in temples made with the physical stones, but living stones, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So no more stone buildings for God's dwelling. So now we come to the notes I have for you. There's some precise demands of how we are to use this temple that God now dwells in, this living temple. God dwells dwelling. Number one, you can see in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 17, don't defile the temple of God. We have a negative description of how we are to live our lives. It means that we are not to render ourselves unholy or unclean. We don't want to besmear or blemish or desecrate this temple. We don't want to make it dirty. We don't want to put it have it stained or spotted. So in other words, to make an application of that, don't bring into your life things that God has forbidden that would defile this temple. Just don't do that. So that this temple can be destroyed. And then again in our text, if any man destroy the temple of God, him will God destroy. So here's that negative. Do not destroy this temple. Number two, in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 17, same verse, for the temple of God is holy. That word holy means we've been sanctified. If you are sanctified, you are set apart. You are designated for a specific use or service that has been ordered by God. When the vessels in the temple were sanctified, God had designated those vessels or altars and things like that for a designated service, an obligation that they had. So now we are the temple of God. We are holy. So God has said, now that you are holy, I'm dedicating you for a particular course of action, for a particular use in my service. That's what that word holy means. Separate, sanctified. So we've been given tasks. We're to use ourselves in service to God. Don't take our bodies and use them in disservice or disobedience, your wickedness. Number three, I'm going to kind of go through these since you have the notes and you can follow along. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, you're not your own. Kind of a principle here. The creation must adhere to the Creator. A biblical principle. Even in life, the potter has power over the clay. The designer has power over the design. The builder over the building. Well, we're not our own. You know, it's almost like the song we sing, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter, we are the clay. Mold me and make me, you know, after thy will. So that's the emphasis of this verse right here. We're not our own. In 1 Peter 1, verse 8, Peter said, for as much as you know, and here's something again, you need to know this, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we were redeemed, purchased people. It means to buy out, to release by paying a ransom. Be redeemed. The price paid in view to the actual deliverance or setting at liberty. So we think about what Jesus did for us. He redeemed us. There was redeeming work in the crucifixion, going through those kinds of things. We're not our own. We were bought with a price. Number four, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. Therefore, in other words, with all of these things in place, here's kind of like, here's the conclusion or the summary. Having that factual information. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Therefore, because you're the temple of God, temple of the Holy Spirit, been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. It means to magnify, to extol, to praise, to ascribe honor, because you're bought with a price. Jesus said in John 15, verse 8, 15 verse 8, herein is my Father glorified. So we're going to have to, if we are supposed to give God glory in our body, what are we supposed to do? How do we glorify God? Herein is my Father glorified, Jesus said, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So the obligation we have on our part is to bear fruit. So as Christians, we are to bear that fruit of the Spirit, shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Glorify. So one purpose of our body's use is make sure we use it in a way that glorifies God, extols His virtues, and honors Him. Number 5 in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Come ye out from among them, be ye separate. You know, as parents, we want the best for our children. We want them to be good citizens in society. And to bring out the best behavior as parents in our children, you know, we establish house rules and we teach and we exhort and we discipline, we encourage, we love, and we do that for years and years. So as Christians, we've been born again. We're God's children. And in verse 18 of the text at the top of your notes, I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Then Jeff remembers a phrase that I've used over the years. You know, God has never asked us to leave anything that's good for us. Only those things that will harm us either spiritually, emotionally, mentally, or physically. Some people want to criticize the Bible and think of just a list of do's and don'ts, but just kind of remember that phrase. Anytime God says to leave something alone, it's for our good. He's never asked us to leave anything that's good for us. Only the things that would harm us, that would destroy this body physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. Come out and be separate. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. You'll seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above. Well, that's how we separate ourselves from the world, from secularism. Secularism, by definition, is world. And we are other-minded. Think godly things, good things. The last one I had, I didn't keep from a different text, but I just took it because of the phrase that we should know how to behave ourselves. But in Paul's letters to the churches and to individuals, that's, you know, James and Peter and John, he writes those letters to encourage us in work and worship and in how to behave ourselves as the temple of God. He says in 1 Timothy 3, verse 14, these things write I unto you, hoping to see you shortly. But if I delay, that you may know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So you and I are the church, the house of God, the tabernacle, the temple of God, of His Spirit. And these are the descriptions on describing how we are to live and think and behave. Romans 12, and I'll close with this one. Beseech you therefore, brethren. In other words, you have a beseech. Well, you have some urging, you know, going on. He's going to beseech us. Well, there's some power behind that the following phrases. So I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, when they sacrifice animal testament, that animal was only sacrificed once. They give up their life once. But we are to have a living sacrifice, you know, daily in our attitude and action, determined by the way that we live, and presenting ourselves before God in the way that He's designed. Be not conformed to this world. A living sacrifice, holy, he mentions again, separate from a sinful life. And that, in the verse Paul says, is acceptable to God. So we know what He desires. We know how to live. It's described. We just need to present ourselves before God His way, because you and I are the temple of God. So that's the lesson. I know we kind of went through it rather hurriedly, but I know you get the idea, especially when we look at Bible temples, when they were all, you know, God's dwelling place. We mentioned last Sunday night's lesson, all those things associated with the temple. That's where they went for sacrifice. But now, we mentioned our morning lesson, God is everywhere. We make our sacrifice to God no matter where we are. We don't go to necessarily go to a designated place. That's the lesson. Always at the close of a lesson in our worship assembly, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. By that we mean at the close of the lesson, we invite those who are not Christians, if they would want to become one, they have that desire, that resolve, and they want to make that known this evening while we are gathered here to rejoice with them in that decision. So we recognize that plan, that those steps in becoming a Christian, to hear and believe that God so loved the world and repent of our sin, turn God's way, as the lesson suggests. Confess our faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Then we'd be baptized, become a child of God. We have so many prayer requests. We have those in our bulletin already. But if there's something that you still want to share this evening, again, while we're here, we can certainly honor. Let's stand together and sing the song that says that.